Welcome to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Nicola runs transformational breakthrough programs for individuals and couples and has several award-winning audio programs. For details, visit www.nicolabeer.com today. Please note, places are limited and are available on first-come, first-served basis.
Hi and welcome. So happy you're here. This is Nicola Beer and today I'm going to be talking about low self-esteem, childhood and intimacy in relationships. Self-esteem is crucial for not only liking the person you are, it is also important to gain love and respect and high regard of others around you. Knowing that you are worthy of loving, worthy of respect, worthy of having your emotional and physical needs met. It's so essential to having intimacy in a relationship, to having a rewarding relationship with your romantic partner and all of those that you interact with. The American Psychological Association defines self-esteem as the degree to which the qualities and characteristics contained in one's self-concept are perceived to be positive. Childhood trauma is where physical or emotional needs were not met because a parent was unable or unwilling to provide those needs. It could be because they were unwell and not able mentally, emotionally or physically to be there for you. It could be because they were busy working or looking after other people in the family that they just left you alone and you felt unseen, unnoticed, unimportant. In the case of a parent addicted to something, like an alcoholic parent, they're present. They're there, but they're not really there, as their primary relationship is with the alcohol. A parent suffering in their own pain of some other kind, where they're so caught up in it that they don't notice you. Perhaps they're grieving the loss of one of their parents or something else. And then there is abuse, verbal, spiritual, physical, and sexual abuse. Abusive parenting creates a painful sense of shame, inadequacy and or superiority in children, which, if left unacknowledged and untreated, results in the prolongation of these wounds in adulthood. Mia Melody wrote that in her book. When events in adulthood trigger memories of the original wounding, an adult re-experiences that shame or that grandiosity of childhood, and they respond immaturely and dysfunctionally. And that's why many people experience post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, in their relationships when such wounds are opened. Let's say someone threatens divorce and they crumble, or someone shouts or is a bit loud and the other person breaks down, or a person rejects a sexual advance and it sends their partner into a negative spin for days. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Low self-esteem, where it comes from, and how to help yourself if you're suffering from low self-esteem. And it doesn't have to be from parents that children get their self-esteem wounded. Bullying at school can have a massive, significant effect. I've worked with many people who struggle in their communication in their adult relationships and get triggered by things because of being bullied at school. And then there's being bullied by a sibling, and then there's other inappropriate behaviour from other caregivers that can damage a child's sense of worth, making them feel less than. And some experience trauma of a different kind. Rather than being made to feel unimportant, unseen, and not worthy of love, which creates a lost, unseen child, or a scapegoat, if the child was blamed for their parents' unhappiness, others are made to feel superior for taking on roles that adults should be doing, like looking after the house, for being perfect, neat and tidy, for being self-sufficient, cooking and looking after themselves at a young age, for example, for working and bringing in money for the family, for looking after the younger siblings, for being quiet and needless. Pia Melody calls this falsely empowering abuse, which, because of its falseness, disempowers the child. Falsely empowering abuse, children, get their sense of self-worth from serving others. Their value comes from caretaking. Their value comes from being mature. They are playing a role in the family to be liked and to be loved. And when they do this, they disconnect from their authentic self. They disconnect from a place of self-love also. They feel, as adults, that they must do good for others. They must be good. They must shut down their spontaneity. They missed out on childhood because they had to be mature. They had to be doing something good for others to get praise, and will go above and beyond to get praise and take control of others. In all of these scenarios, the child loses themselves and their childhood. They assume the role as the mature person because this is praised. They learn that I am only worthy of love and attention if I am looking after myself by myself, or I'm squashing down my own needs. They learn that only if I am perfect, if I am exactly who my parents want me to be and how they want me to be, will I be loved. So they deny themselves their own personality, their own needs. This denial of having any needs puts up walls in adults' relationships, because rather than having healthy boundaries where you are vulnerable with those that you feel safe, you're not too vulnerable, but you're vulnerable, they cannot be vulnerable at all. There are brick walls that are blocking intimacy in that relationship. They can't be vulnerable, and because they prefer not to rely on anyone else. And they often have trouble expressing their needs, expressing their emotions. They may also have problems in other relationships with their family, friends, because they want to organise and take control of things to help other people get their needs met. And sometimes this extra help or control isn't wanted. And they often don't allow anybody to do anything for them. So it can feel very one-sided being in a relationship with someone like this. And it can affect adult relationships because this kind of person, the people-pleasing person, can do everything for everybody else, sometimes but their partner. They'll be so busy looking after their friends, their children, their family, their other people, that they don't have time for their partner, because they get their validation from being perfect, from helping others, and they strive for perfection. I've also helped many people break free of these childhood patterns who also got into relationships with people that need to be rescued. They found themselves attracted time and time again to people that needed them rather than people that could also give back to them. And they would get their own sense of worthiness from helping these struggle people, whether it was someone struggling financially or with depression or anxiety or with some other emotional or physical need. Disempowering abuse is where covertly or overtly the child's needs are neglected and abandoned. Covertly could be parents struggling to pay the bills, working late, and not being present for the child. Parents struggling with their own stresses, addictions, health issues, to give the child any attention. The child feels worthless as unnoticed, unseen. Overt disempowerment is where the child is told that they are stupid, worthless, a waste of space, ugly, good for nothing. You get the picture. This is the most deeply wounding form of trauma. It leaves the children with an inherent sense of defectiveness. They become the scapegoat of the family and are acknowledged as being very good at being bad. The scapegoat is where the child becomes the repository of all the bad thoughts and feelings of the parents. All the bad thoughts and feelings that the parents don't want to acknowledge about themselves. Ironically, in order to stay attached, because we have a fear of abandonment, so we will strive to stay attached to our parents, even if they are hurting us, it means that the continuous shaming as a child repeats the bad behaviour and suffers the same consequences. So they don't change because they've learnt to survive in the system by fulfilling the role of the bad child. And then they keep on suffering the punishment. As adults, scapegoats will spend a lifetime often behaving badly and then suffer the shame directed their way of those whom they have offended, or attack themselves for their whole adult life, judging themselves as bad, wrong, not good enough. They take on the voice of their adult parent and beat themselves up. Or, as I mentioned, they act out badly. Maybe they are addicted to something, or they do bad things, they say bad things, and then suffer that shame. Having never learnt self-worth for being themselves, both the falsely empowered and the disempowered abuse creates a cycle of never feeling worthy of love in both of these. Both the child that was consistently praised for being good, mature, and taking on adult responsibilities at a young age suffers. And so does the one being told, you are bad, you are to blame for my unhappiness and stress. I was the scapegoat of my family. I was one of five children. I was the daydreamer, the messy one. The one who was so scared of my mum, I accepted every fist and bad word she threw at me. I took it on as real. I internalised this, that I am bad, I am horrible, I am unwanted, I am rejected. Being told that I was stupid, lazy and ugly at such a young age. Being told that my mum wished that she never had me and that I've ruined her life. Left scars so deep that I had PTSD in my adult life, that I had to clear in order to be able to have an intimate, healthy relationship. These are the three of the worst areas someone can attack you in. Your intelligence, your looks and character. Just one of those is damaging. Unfortunately, I had all three, which is probably why my PTSD was so extreme. In adult relationships, any rejection would crush me for days. I'd cried, I'd be so hurt over it. The pain would cut so deeply that I'd repeat what the person had said. I'd attack myself in my head. And then sometimes I would just go on an extreme diet. Right, you don't deserve to eat. You're not going to eat. You're not going to eat until whatever it was. Or I put myself through a real extreme fitness regime where I had to run every day, even if my feet were hurting, keep going, and just keep pushing myself. Or sometimes I would just change my wardrobe and say that I was disgusting to myself. I'd look in the mirror and say, look, you're disgusting, you look this, you look that, you've done this, you've done that. I'd just play over negative things in my head. None of it made me feel better. None of it, of course, helped me in my relationships. It just made me feel worse. I was repeating what I went through as a child. And I would also doubt myself. Maybe I'm boring, maybe I'm not good enough in bed. Maybe there's a better, more attractive, thinner, funnier person out there that they want. And now, having done the self-work, I thankfully no longer fall down in this trap. If you are there right now, my heart goes out to you. It's an awful place to be. And that's why I'm so happy that you're listening to this and that you're taking an interest in your health, self-esteem and well-being, because that's the first step. I also want to point out that no childhood is the same. Two of my sisters were praised as the good, neat, tidy, responsible ones. Not at the same time, mind you. First it was the eldest. Then she started staying away, tired of being our mum, cook and cleaner. And my younger sister took over. I've always known that our childhood affected us in different ways. It's obvious in the way that we display or don't display our emotions and in our life choices. However, until I understood this falsely empowered and disempowered, it didn't make sense to me why it would affect us so differently. I am very emotionally expressive, and one of my siblings, it appears like they don't have any emotion at all. They don't have any needs at all. It's very hard to get close to them, to connect with them on an emotional level. Yet they'll do anything for you practically. They'll pick you up, they'll drop you off, they'll give you food. And yet there's no, how are you okay? There's no empathy, there's no deep conversations. And it's about having compassion for that, having love for that, because they obviously struggled with the falsely empowered abuse. But I only knew that when I got into this work. And so having compassion for your partner, whether they're good at expressing empathy and emotions or not, is crucial. It took me a great deal of self-work, courses, some counselling, coaching, and creating my own confidence and self-love course to be able to see myself as worthy of love, to overcome my fear of abandonment, and to see myself as beautiful and perfectly imperfect. And I've created a step-by-step plan to help people get to this point who also suffer from never feeling good enough. Part of this is recognizing and accepting that we are perfectly imperfect, as I mentioned. Acknowledging that all humans have limitations, and these limitations are not faults, just given truths. Recovery is all about discovery of your authentic self, being the real you. The real you is not what people wanted you to be, but who you are. Some wonder when they come to me, not knowing who they really are, if they're in a midlife crisis. And I like to think of it not as a midlife crisis, but maybe as a moment of truth. The first key to change is recognizing if you have low self-esteem or a people-pleasing self-esteem, where you can only feel good about yourself if you are looking after others. Think about these questions. Do you speak kindly to yourself or are you critical? Do you like what you see in the mirror? Are you kind to your body? Are your habits honouring you? Do you think others are better than you? Do you regularly compare yourself with others? Do you regularly compare your life with others? Do you feel unloved and unliked no matter what others say or do? Does your partner tell you that they love you, that they find you attractive, and yet you don't believe them? Do you get your sense of self-worth by helping others? Do you crave and need validation? Do you people please at the sacrifice of your own happiness? Do you need attention consistently? If you do recognize low self-esteem, then it may be worth looking at your childhood. We are affected differently by trauma that happened in the early years before the age of 5 than we are between the ages of 6 to 17. Because after 6, we have more of a sense of self, some language skills, and some awareness. I haven't got the space or time to go into this now, and some of you may not be interested in this topic, quite frankly. So just know that when your childhood trauma took place before 5 or after 5 will have a different impact. The most effective way to clear hurt from these wounds is to do inner child work, which is where you give that little you a voice, where you can give back what belongs to your parents or significant others, where you can address the unmet needs by reparenting yourself. Inner child work is the idea that we all have younger parts within us, with different ages, different experiences, and different needs. And as we grow up and form adult relationships, our younger selves don't just disappear. So when our partner triggers us, and we can't understand why we got so worked up, or why we took a criticism so to heart, or why the rejection pained us for days, is often because our younger child is screaming for attention, screaming for love, screaming to be seen. Often as adults, we ignore these cries, we deny or dismiss, we freeze, we search for a solution to fix it, and all of these can be a trauma response being replayed in adult life. We respond to our wounds in ways which we learned as a child, and these keep us stuck in our childhood patterns. They may have worked to keep us safe as children, and they may be totally inappropriate or unhelpful in our romantic relationships. Without change, the experience of living can be very harsh. As Mia Petmelody, who is an expert in this field who I studied, states, the damaged self becomes cut off from the present like a prisoner, asking for love and support through soundproof glass. So we can't really live in the present if we're still triggered by our childhood wounding. Many with low self-esteem, under stress, use drugs, alcohol, sex, compulsive shopping, risk-taking, infidelity, work addiction, overeating to distract and numb. It decreases stress in the short term, getting engaged in one of these habits, yet it brings with it a whole host of other problems that actually increase the stress and the low mood long term. High self-esteem brings with it a steady assurance in your own capabilities. It bolsters confidence in your ability to handle anything life might throw at you. It's where you believe, yes, I have a right to an opinion. I deserve to be heard. I am worthy of being loved, admired, and cared for. Essentially, it is waking up feeling good about yourself and giving up trying to be perfect. It's accepting that you have flaws just like everyone else, and that's the beauty of being human and living a human life. Accepting all parts of you, the traits of your personality that makes mistakes. Accepting and loving your body regardless that it's not perfect looking, model looking. Self-esteem is not solely about how you relate to yourself. It also has an immense impact on one's relationship to the wider world. Our personal relationships are impacted by our own self-esteem, which is why looking at your triggers and where it comes from is important. Poor self-esteem, if unattended, often ends up in a person seeking a partner to raise their self-esteem, either by rescuing a partner, as we mentioned, focusing on them to avoid their own feelings of inadequacy, and getting their self-esteem from caretaking, where they accept blame for their partner's feelings and live their life for everyone else but themselves, denying they have needs, or by being attached to a partner too quickly because that partner wants them, have love bov them. And then sometimes that's how people get into affairs. That person love bombs them and they fall for it. And often the person love bombing wants to take control of the person. They become selfish and demanding. Or sometimes settling in a relationship with someone that they are not really attracted to because they make them feel safe. Studies show that low self-esteem levels when you enter a relationship can predict happiness in those relationships. While happiness in relationships does decrease over time, according to the studies, it is less drastic when people enter a relationship with high self-esteem. On the other hand, those who enter a relationship with low self-esteem face a bigger downward slide in their happiness. Relationships that begin with people having low self-esteem are not likely to withstand the many challenges. These studies highlight to me the importance of working on oneself and the relationship. It's not okay to say, well, I react like this because I have low self-esteem, or because I had a bad childhood, I'm treating you badly. It's essential to take responsibility for the reactions, to take action, to make the relationship happier as well. I think those studies that show that happiness in a relationship decreases is quite alarming. It just shows that if you don't give focus to any area of your life, it's not going to improve or maintain its excitement, its passion, its joy. So making time for your relationship, making time for yourself, making an effort to show love, to give love, to receive love is so important. Working on your communication skills and empathy. I'm going to be sharing some tips very soon in another podcast on how to raise your self-esteem and how to help your partner raise theirs. So do subscribe to the show if you haven't already to make sure that you find it. And whilst you're there, if you wouldn't mind giving the show a rating or review, I'd be so, so grateful. It helps the show stay more visible. It also motivates me knowing that people like my podcasts, are listening to them, are finding them useful. And of course, you're always welcome to join the Facebook group. The link is provided along with this. And it's on my website. You can post any anonymous question now. Facebook have got a new feature when you join a group. You can just ask any question to the group. You can also learn some tips from me, watch some videos that I create. And there's some various other things going on in the group coming up very soon, which you'll only know about if you join the group. So it's a great idea to join if you are on Facebook and you want to be part of that community. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. Wishing you an amazing day or evening ahead. And if you do recognize that your self-esteem is low, be proud of yourself, because acknowledging that truth to yourself is the first step. And now you can go on a path to building that up, to truly loving yourself and living a life you love. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Relationship and Wellness Podcast with Nicola Beer. Check out the award-winning audio programs. Visit www.nicolabeer.com today.